Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Tomorrow night, Middlebury College artist-in-residence François Clemens will be giving a farewell concert to celebrate his retirement. An internationally known singer and choir director, he created the Harlem Spiritual Ensemble, won an Emmy for his role as Sportin' Life in Porgy and Bess, and sang with the Metropolitan Opera Studio. But Clemens is arguably most famous with children. For more than two decades, he played the role of Officer Clemens on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, where he often sang his message.
Some are fancy on the outside, some are fancy on the inside. Yes, sir, everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine.
I sat down with François Clemens earlier this week and asked him what he wanted to discuss in his exit interview.
I guess I probably want to talk about what I'm going to be doing more than anything else. Politics is something that I very much want to get involved because I think it affects my life and many people around me. When I teach my students, I nudge them to also be more politically aware.
What are your big issues?
Well, I'm interested in same-sex marriage. I'm interested in gun control. I've been doing stuff online, and you can sign petitions and talk and that sort of thing. Locally, I guess the other thing I'm concerned about is immigration, like the driver's license issues that's come up. I just think we need to be careful who we're giving the licenses to and things like that. But that to me is a very fundamental thing. If you're using someone in your apple orchards and in your farms, your milk farms and stuff, and they can't drive a car, it doesn't make sense to me. Plus, there are many students here at Middlebury College who I think deserve citizenship. It's that simple. They worked very hard. They are very intelligent, very sensitive, very worthy human beings, and I think we would benefit from an immigration situation that leaned towards allowing students to be a bigger part of our country, not just in here in Middlebury, but all over the country. So far, these are non-musical things.
Well, I was going to ask you, is politics something that you've found more of a passion for during your time here at Middlebury? Have you been here a little over a decade?
I have always had passion about politics, but to be very frank with you and very direct so we don't have to beat around the bush, I never felt that I could participate in politics because I'm an openly gay man. And I think that there are lots of people who that's all they would see. He's gay. And they wouldn't vote for me. So there was never any thought or consideration to run for office. I don't think that's a bad thing. That's the way my life is. And I certainly was able to concentrate on musical things. But there might have been a tinge of interest earlier if I felt that it was something that could be a reality, could happen. I look at Barney Frank and a few people like that who paved the way. But I don't feel as a person on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood doing children's television. And Fred and I did discuss it. Fred Rogers and I discussed my coming out and being openly gay. And we decided that I would probably have to end my relationship with the show. So I never really, really came out. And I just, in the theater and in opera and music, you can be openly gay. Nobody cares. And somehow or another, those worlds never crossed or got negative with each other. I could do the children's television stuff with Fred Rogers, and then I could be much, much more myself when I was singing my own concerts and doing the Harlem Spiritual Ensemble and that sort of stuff. So I love politics. I've always had a passion for politics. And in the 50s and 60s, when I was in Youngstown, Ohio, I protested in civil rights marches and sing-ins and sit-ins, all that at Oberlin and Cleveland, Ohio, where I grew up. So I've always had this ear for politics, what's going on.
You told Oberlin at one point that when you were younger, you didn't think that a gay man could be brilliant, could be something. So it sounds like you personally have had quite an evolution in figuring out, you know, what you can be and what you can do as a gay man.
That just seems so ridiculous to me when I think about it now. But when I was younger, like in my 20s and stuff, I thought gay people were inferior. I thought that if I came out for gay, I too would be considered inferior. And the idea of having a great musical genius, like some of the ones that I knew, Samuel Barber and Leonard Bernstein was bisexual, Aaron Copland, you know, there were so many great minds and musical minds who were gay. I discovered that because I certainly didn't know before I got to Oberlin and then came to Pittsburgh and then on to New York. And I began to meet creative people, dancers, directors, producers, people in film, you name it. And they were gay. And I thought, uh-oh, there goes my theory. And I'm very, very, very happy because when I heard that Horowitz, for example, was gay, and I thought, how could this great musical genius be gay? Well, frankly, that's what I was taught as a boy, that the brighter people were not going to be gay. It was something inferior and negative. But I've come a long way since then, and I see it as just another expression of the human condition.
How does that work, or how do you square that with your love, early love, and continual love of spirituals? Because there has been a lot of talk in the religious community that's not always been very positive towards gay people. And specifically in some of the black churches, it's been an issue. So how do you deal with that?
You are absolutely right. To be quite honest, earlier in my career, I think I ignored it. I just thought, well, I just pretend that doesn't exist. And the spirituality would override or be more important or more receptive. But as I've gotten more and more into my career, I found people that even if they were espousing a philosophy or theology of intolerance, they tolerated me because of my talent. And tolerated is the right word in those days. They chose to not make that an issue so I could sing in the black church particularly and also in the Catholic church. I did a lot of work in the Catholic church, and all of the priests knew that I was gay. I said, if they don't want me, they'll tell me and I'll get out. So that was not something I was going to fight about.
It's also something that I assume you have to deal with being here in Vermont. Not that Vermont isn't a place that is open and welcoming, but it's a small place. And you and I have talked before that it could be difficult in some ways to be a single, older, gay, black man in Middlebury.
You could have said handsome.
And handsome, of course. And you know, you have some gender-bending roles that you play here. As I sit here with you now, you got a lot of jewelry on. You love your jewelry.
These old things, just a little something.
You have a lot of nicknames. One of them is Diva Man. You sign your emails, Diva Man.
Yes,
so
I do.
How do you view your role here?
Well, the magic about being here on the campus is I can do whatever I want to do. I can be myself. And I'll never forget when I first started coming up here to sing with the Harlem Spiritual Ensemble, and John McCarl, who was the president of Middlebury College, approached me about coming up here and spending more time. The one thing I remember saying to him, John, I'm not coming to Vermont to go back into the closet. And he said, what's the problem? I said, John, I'm not going to come to Vermont and go back into the closet. He said, what's the problem? So we chatted and we talked, and he said, I want you to be yourself. Give of yourself. And that's very, very important to me because I tease, you know, when I go out on stage, I have all this regalia and stuff on. And I tease the guys in the audience that they don't dress like I do, you know, or that I'm wearing something that's typical Vermont and it absolutely is not. So I have really, really, really found that right from the very beginning, people kind of said, well, you know, that's Francois. If he wants to wear that or he wants to be this way or be that way. That is invaluable to me, that I didn't bend, I was not broken, and the people who didn't like me managed to stay the heck away from me. That's just fine. So I have to admit that part of it has been tremendously enriching and positive and nurturing and supportive, that I can be myself. The other day I dressed up in this lilac outfit that I have, and everyone said, well, yeah, you could. No special occasion, I just like dressing up. A large part of the last 20 years of getting ready for a concert has been getting a new outfit or getting something special together. I really like that. And I like colors. I like very, very colorful outfits and stuff and things that the typical male here in Vermont is not going to wear.
Yeah, I've never seen you in Carhartts, for example.
Oh, no Carhartts. If I got it, I'd put lace all over the top of it, you know, and I'd have spangles and sparklies and everything. And you would recognize it as Carhartt. No, but I think the guys who want to wear Carhartt, the ladies, they should be allowed. Absolutely. And I see nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But there's not a piece of Carhartt in my house. Are you kidding? It's not colorful enough. The other roles and stuff, here, I have found contentment. I could barely say it because I've never been content in my whole life. And all of a sudden, I was walking around my house one day and I thought, I just love it here. This is where I belong.
You got a lot of layers. And we, you know, we've been talking about some of them here, but I was surprised to know. I mean, even musically, you have a lot of layers. You're very well known for your role in Porgy and Bess, yes, The Sport and Life.
Yeah.
Very well known for the Harlem Spiritual Ensemble, yes, and the Martin Luther King Ensemble, yes, that you've created here.
Yep.
You're an opera,
yes,
star,
yes,
oh, as,
yeah,
well.
Well.
But I didn't know that you also, when you were a very young man, were part of a rock group.
Oh!
The Jokers?
Lord, you have been reading, haven't you?
That's right. So what? Can you give us a little sample of what you performed when you were in the Jokers?
He rocks in the treetop all day long, rock banana, pop banana, singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, 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 rockin' robin, tweet, tweet, tweedly-dee, rockin' robin, tweet, tweet, tweedly-dee. Yes, I did a lot of that when I was young. In fact, one of my nicknames was Moon River, because I sang Moon River a lot, and then I sang those songs. I like that kind of music. Motown was my idol. I mean, the Temptations and Diana Ross and Mary Wells, you go back. So I grew up in a community that really, really, James Brown, Ray Charles, my goodness, I love those guys. So that was my youth. And then I heard this opera thing, ooh, and it just lit a fire. But I loved opera from the first time I heard it, and I wanted to know more about it. So I don't feel there's any separation.
What are you going to be performing in your farewell concert?
Well, to tell you the plain old truth, it's not all decided yet. But I'm spontaneous. And in like some 35 years of concertizing, either with the Harlem Spiritual Ensemble or as a soloist, I have never sung a program as it was printed. And I sometimes just explain to the audience. And the thing is, many times you have to turn a program in 6 months, 3 months, whatever, in advance. And then when that time comes, you just feel so different. And I do. So we've practiced, all, you know, a number of things. It's not like I'm not doing anything. It's just that it's not in concrete. And it won't be in concrete until I'm out there on stage and I start singing. And I say, okay, this is it.
What are a couple that you know you're going to do?
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm going to do Mary Had a Baby. Sister Mary Had But One Child. Prepare Me, One Body. We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder. I love that song.
Remind me the tune.
We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Etc., etc. It's so simple. And that's one of the things I love about spirituals. A lot of them are so simple, a lot of repetition, which is also what I tell my kids in the Martin Luther King Choir, that they can learn everything by rote. 90% of the time, you don't need music. Just let yourself flow. Let yourself go with it. It's also an emotional thing. The older I get, I know it's possible. I'm more emotional than I was when I was 25 or 30. It just seems to happen. So whatever I'm singing on Friday will be something that is deeply, deeply meaningful and touching to me. I won't be singing any casual songs or any light or easy songs. And I'll be very honest with my audience. If they think it's too long and they have to get up and leave, just get on up and leave, because I'm going to have a good time.
You're going to be singing till you're done.
I'm singing till I'm done. Exactly.
Well, Francois, congratulations on your retirement. Good luck in your farewell concert. And I look forward to seeing more of you.
Oh, you will. I'll be around. Thank you.
Francois Clemens' farewell concert is tomorrow night at 8 at the Center for the Arts at Middlebury College.